The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm very tired, very cranky. I'm trying to get the fight. We have Kevin Holland and Rob Font today, which is great. Two guys I really want to talk to after extremely impressive wins over really, really good fighters. That was a great card.
It was a great card, Jimmy. And it was a great morning. And I never thought I'd say this to another man. But listen, don't get mad at me when you're cranky. But you're cute when you're cranky.
Thank you.
I never thought I'd say that to another human being, a man.
I'm just tired. I don't sleep well. And last night I probably got an hour's worth of sleep, which is bad for your health.
Why? Why aren't you sleeping?
I can't fall asleep. Maybe because Sundays I sleep in a little bit and then I'm not tired enough to go to bed. I don't know, Matt. It's very frustrating.
I could pile on and be like, well, maybe you should train a little bit.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but I'm too tired to train. I mean, I have no energy.
I know you don't like to get hairy, but you could always get your TRT tested.
I got all those tests taken. Did I tell you? I went to Rogan's guy and got all of the blood work done. And they recommend
testosterone. How we doing?
For regular testosterone, I'm actually good. But for the free range stuff, which is the stuff that matters, I'm low. But I'm going to try to do something natural first. Like they're recommending a bunch of vitamins and stuff, but I'm pretty healthy. But if that doesn't work, I'm debating doing it. I just don't want to be hooked on it forever.
Well, listen, man, I feel fucking great, except for my stomach, but that's whole other issues, man. But
what do you mean your stomach? Because of the TRT?
No, it's nothing to do with my TRT. It has to do with my ass. I got ulcerative colitis.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'm up at night for different reasons. Yeah, it stinks. No pun intended. Yeah, but listen, but what am I going to do? You know, at least I got abs. I feel good.
Yeah, you do.
I'm so honest when anybody asks me, Matt, you look good. You really look good. I'm like, yeah, you know, I do a lot of jiu-jitsu, which is not lying. I'm on the mats a lot. Also not lying.
Teaching
a lot.
You are on the mats.
I'm also on the throne a lot. So, hey, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. Jimmy, speaking of being on the mats a lot, I was at my school this morning.
Yes.
Now, look at this promotion. I told you I gave a nice promotion out today.
Yeah.
Now, this was way overdue. I was going to give this guy maybe straight to black belt in like another year or so. This guy's really good. But he's one of our fighters, mine and Ray Longo's, one of our favorite guys, Raging Ally Aquinter. I gave his brown belt today. But let me just add that literally I was going to give it to him at we have an annual barbecue that you know about. That's usually in August.
I've never been asked to go, but yes.
I invited you every year, but I was going to give it to him then before the pandemic. That's how long ago. And then he missed out. He left early. So I'm like, all right, I'll give it to him next time I see him. And then I'm like, next thing you know, I'm like, all right, we're going to Australia. I'll give it to him in Australia during one of his fights.
Sure.
You know me, Jimmy, I forgot to bring it on the plane, you know?
I understand. So,
next thing you know, it's been a few years, so it's a little late.
Yeah, but, and he's getting towards a black belt in the year, you said, right?
I mean, you can't really skip over the belt. So I'm like, let's get this going. So I finally seen him today. I go, all right, Janelle, You can look on my Instagram. I tell the same story. But, you know, he's a great man. And he's a very, you know, skilled grappler. So
was he happy?
Oh, he's happy. He goes, great way to start the day, you know. Ray Janelle is a good guy, man.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
You look on my, also look on my Instagram, myself, Raging Al, and the late, great Paul Harrison, the Hulk, going on a road trip. Oh. Listening to In and Out of Love by the great Tyrone Woodley. I mean, got a little bit of a buzz going. Is there anything better? And if you look on that video, you can see the it's like the birds were chirping. We were, the music was on.
Let me see.
Jimmy, now I'm burying my friend. All right, enough of the fucking Grim Reaper shit.
Oh, I know. That's right.
We got Rob Font coming. Hey, Rob Font. Holy shit, man. Who was the favorite in that fight with him and Adrian?
Was Yanez the favorite? I don't remember. We'll ask him. I don't know. I know that Adrian was 12 and Rob was number 6. Yanez was favored. Wow.
He was favored. He won his spot. But let's talk to him. Yeah, that's how you should be looking. You should be poolside after a victory like that. Yeah, Rob. Yeah, Mr. Font.
Let's go. Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing, Rob?
Feel taking out a kid like that with an eight. Listen, we have a lot of respect for Adrian. He's just, and first of all, he's a really nice kid too. A tough kid. I respect his lineage. I love his skill set. But I mean, Rob, I'm not saying you were. He was channeled in. He wanted your spot, and I mean, you answered the call. How were we feeling coming into this?
I felt great, man. I felt like the UFC was pushing him, the media were pushing him. I bought in. I started pushing him myself. I was like, all right, well, let's jump on the bandwagon. Let's try to sell this guy as much as possible. And you know, but in the back of my mind, like, these guys don't know. They just don't know that what was about to happen, you know. And so it was more of one of those things like, let's big him up, let's make him seem like the biggest, scariest monster we could possibly make him sound like, and then go out there and knock him out. You know, I felt like, you know, he fought. He did what he had to do with the fighters that they threw in front of him, but he hasn't fought anybody. He hasn't been in there. He hasn't really been tested. He hasn't really gotten in there with a skilled guy. You know, his last W was over Randy Costa and Tony Kelly. And I mean, that's just not going to do it. You know, like, that's just not going to do it. Now I'm not saying he's not quick. He doesn't hit hard and all that, but like he, it just wasn't, what they were selling. You know, I'm like, I don't like, you guys are building him up, but when you look and you break down his record and you look at his skill set and you look at his fight, and even if you go back and watch that Randy Costa fight or even the David Grant fight, like it could have been questioned by that maybe he even lost that David Grant fight, you know, like, so I'm like, all right, bro, like this is the perfect non-ranked fighter that I can get with the biggest name and I know he's going to make it exciting as well. And you saw what happened.
He looked good, but you looked, I don't know if you looked as good as I've ever seen you. And when you're right, because I did think of the guys he's faced. He's fought some good fighters, but I mean, you're coming off fights against Vera and Aldo. They were decision losses, but they were still great fights. And you beat Cody, Marlon Moraes, Ricky Simon, Sergio. Like, you fought top 10 guys. And are you his first top 10 guy? Because there is a big difference between 10 and down and 10 and up.
Yeah, no, 100%. There's a big difference, you know, and you can't really see it until you get in there and you feel it, you know. You can't. It's hard to explain, but there's just a difference like rhythm. It's a different like pace. It's a different feel when you get in there with these good guys and I was hoping he would have been that guy, but it just like I just know he hasn't done that yet, and I have, and I've been on both sides of in his position as well. Like when I fought Marlon Moraes, I was ranked number 11 and he was the third ranked number 3, you know. And I've been battle tested. I've been in before. My debut was versus George Root, you know. I fought the biggest 35 you could think of, you know. So I've been in there with some of these guys, you know. I watched George Root do his thing at WEC, so like I since I started, I've been here with some tough fights, you know. So and he has it, you know. Like, he's been on the Dana White Contender Series, which is great. And it kind of like hurts. It's good and bad for you too, because you get a lot of pop, but you're basically fighting local fights. He's basically fighting a CES, CFFC fight on a big stage, you know what I'm saying? Which you get the buzz, you get the pop, but you're not fighting like the legitimate threats, you know, like how I had to when I first got in. Like I was fighting, my debut was again George Root. You know, I didn't get to kind of like fight the local guy in New England and get into the UFC, you know, or fighting those type of guys in the UFC. And he has, you know, so it's kind of like, all right, let's set him up as much as possible. Let's play the game and then go out there and just shock the world. To everybody else, it seemed like it was shocked, but we all knew what was going to happen, you know. And again, like it could have been. I'm saying that now, and it's easier to say that after a W.
Sure.
It could have easily been like I'm back to another 5-round war because he got me with some good shots, you know. I'm back out here with some sunglasses, you know. So it wasn't like that, but I knew it couldn't just keep doing it, you know. I knew he wouldn't be able to just keep going, you know. And it worked out in my favor, so I'm definitely thankful.
He seemed like he had good fast hands. I mean, he seemed like he was a good puncher. He had accurate punches. But you just, yeah, I mean, again, you looked as good as I've ever seen you.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, like he's going to be good. You know, like he moves well. He's real sharp. I would love to get some training in with him. And you know, like I don't know how he feels about that, but I would love to get some rounds with him. I could tell that'd be great work. Just straight boxing, even MMA sparring, but even if it's just straight boxing, I know like I'm in the boxing gym all the time, and I've seen guys like him, like a lot of these guys, they're everywhere, you know what I'm saying? Especially in Massachusetts, man, and where we at in Lawrence, there's a million 130 pound Puerto Rican Dominican fighters everywhere. So I've seen these guys before, you know, and I knew how dangerous he could be. I didn't know how long. I just figured he wouldn't be able to do that the whole three rounds.
Well, I'd give it maybe a couple of days. It might be too soon to call him up for some. He might be still a little, you know, it might be a little too soon. But but I hear you. The thing is, though, what was different, if anything, what was different with you? Now, we could say it was the inexperience, which I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, you fought assassins, including the last two that you lost to, you know, with Marlon and with Jose Aldo. But yeah. I mean, like Jimmy said, man, you were really on point, man, from your jab to just your whole, the sequence where you put those shots together when you had them hurt.
I think you go back to the Aldo fight and I broke my orbital the first round or the first big shot he hit me.
Oh, right? All right. There you go.
Yeah. So I broke my orbital that first round and I just started like, and I got a little desperate in that Aldo fight. I just started like trying things happen. And then I fucked up and kind of like, I want to say I was acting a fool, but I wasn't living the professional lifestyle after that fight. I was just hanging out. I was just not like, I want to say I wasn't partying, but I was like, I was going on vacation. And when I got the call for Cheeto Fight, I was in the Bahamas. And I was like, you know, I'm hanging out, you know, I got Bahama Mamas in my pocket. I'm at a private beach. And it was kind of like, it was my, one of my nephews, I'm sorry, my uncle's 60th birthday. So I'm out there. And then usually I turn that type of stuff down. Like, no, I'm focused in, I'm locked in. But it was more like, you know, let me take some time off. I just lost whatever. But then I got the call. So like, I'm still a little butt hurt from losing. I get a call, I'm heavy. I'm kind of rushed. I'm not really training, but I'm like, this is a great fight. I don't want to say no to the UFC. Sure. So I'm like, let's just do it. You know, and it felt rushed. I know it's easier to say now, but I probably should have turned that fight down. So like when I got there, I didn't make weight. It was rushed. It was like I was going through the motions on fight week. I didn't really want to be there, but I was trying to like, all right, let's just fuck it up. Let's just go up there and get it done. And even in the fight, once it started going bad, it was like I had a bad attitude. Like, wow, this is stupid. This sucks. And I just wasn't mentally there, you know. And I just wasn't there. Like, and it was just like, again, first time missing weight. First time getting in there and feeling like shit. First time I didn't even want to warm up. It was like it just wasn't right. And then I think, and again, I'm not the type of guy to go out there and tell the media about that. So like I'm pretty sure nobody knew about that. I can't see Adrian didn't know about that. And he's probably thinking off his seat. What he's seeing is the you know the rough fight that fought Cheeto, you know, and like you know, even on that fight week, I was sitting there the whole time. I was basically eating watermelon shakes and oatmeal the whole week. I wasn't eating right. I mean, that's all I could eat because I was so heavy. And it was like, we did everything we can to try to get the weight down. It was just like, and then even then, I'm like, this is stupid. Like,
how much notice did you have for that fight, Rob? Did you say?
Say it again.
Did you have, was it short notice that fight or did you have the camp?
It wasn't that short. I think I was just too heavy. It was like 5.5 weeks.
Oh,
it
you had 5.5.
It wasn't that short, but it wasn't enough. Like it was like I was up to like 170 when I got the call. So I was like, oh shit, I'm heavy. I'm pretty big, you know. I haven't really been training, and it's kind of like it was basically fight camp. It was a fat camp, you know. I was just trying to make the weight.
You know,
when you're going into it like that, sorry, when you're going into it and you know that you're feeling a little bit off and you missed weight, are you in the cage when you walk in and you go, fuck, man, like, can you kind of feel, it's like a sluggish feeling, or is it just disconnected, or what is it for you? It's
like, think like the kind of like sick day at the office, you know, where you just kind of go through it. You're like, all right, I'm gonna take this, I'm gonna get in there, I'm gonna do the job. I don't really want to be there. I was just going through the motion. I was basically fighting for a check. You know, I wasn't there to get creative. I wasn't there to kind of like perform. I wasn't there to kind of see what I could do. I want to try this, I want to try that. It was like, let's just go through it. Let's just try to win the decision and go home and fix this, you know? And that was the kind of the attitude during camp. That was the kind of attitude during the week. My nutrition was kind of like, I don't know, man, like we could do it, but like, this is going to be crazy. And it backfired, you know. I didn't make weight, and I always make weight. You know, I wasn't happy. I wasn't smiling. I looked like shit. I felt like shit. It was like everything was off. I felt like I didn't even like my haircut that night. It was just bad. It was everything. You know,
funny. It's funny you said that, but that's funny. Hey, listen, only because that brought me back. My Greg the Barber, he cut the hair when I fought GSP. He got fucking stopped at the border for the fucking the rematch. Hit my buddy Abe, Uriah Faber, for some reason in the slammer at the border. And I'm like, oh, my buddy Abe. So I blame Greg the Barber for my losing my title. No, I'm only kidding. But listen, the feel good is the fucking, the look good is the feel good. But I feel you, bro. There's times in there where I felt like, dude, this felt just like a horrible day of sparring that I just had to get through. And everybody's seen, like, you know what I mean? So I get you, but what? You got reignited. I mean, what's up? So what, how soon after that, you're like, all right, fuck this. All right, Adrian Yanez, let's fucking go. What happened? You got the call. Where was your head at?
So basically after that fight, we sat down and we said, all right, listen, like we fucked up. Like as a team, we sat together, like everybody, we fucked up. We should have said no. He said, let's take a year off. We saw what a year did for Calvin. Like, let's take the year off. No matter what UFC calls, Sean Shelby calls, we're going to say no. Like, we're going to give him a date. Like, we won't fight until April. Like, that's it. And then it was like, he called for April. I think he even called, like, for one of the – I want to say they were trying to match me and Frankie in New York. And they're like, no, we're not doing it. Like, and then there's a big name. I'm like, no, we're not doing it. Like, we're sticking to it. Like, we're not fighting until the year. So we did that. My fiance was pregnant at the time, so even like it was to the point where like we were partying so hard in the Bahamas, I ended up getting my fiance pregnant. So it was like we're going hard. So it was all right, listen, she's pregnant anyways. Let's take the time off. Let's have the baby. She was born in December. From there, like we basically said, from there on, we'll get back into camp. We're training. We're dieting. We're being on point. We wasn't like I said. I got back to like my old ways where I was like, no more like going out, no more like it's your birthday. That's great, but I'm not coming. You know, you want to invite me on vacation? That's great. I'm cool, but no, I'm sticking here. I'm staying home. I'm staying inside. And like, obviously, I got a baby on the way, so I'm like, we're just trying to lock everything in. And when she gave birth, then we picked up the sparring, we picked up the conditioning, and then we just basically got into the camp, and then we got the Adrian Yanez fight. It wasn't like obviously ideal to fight back was the number 12 guy, but it was like, this is perfect. This is not like the craziest up and coming fight. Like I know what he's doing on paper. I can see what he's done. I like the fight. He's gonna bring it. He's gonna stand there for me. So I'm like, let's just do it. And everybody agreed. The team agreed. And so you basically gotta focus in shape on weight, raw font, and that's what you get.
And when you're fighting a guy, when you're fighting back numerically. There are guys like Yanez is a name and people are talking about. It's like guys who are ahead of Sean O'Malley that fought him, like, or Patty. Like, there's times where it's an advantage because it's going to be a good fight and people want to see, all right, what does this kid do? He's a talented guy, but you're obviously a top 10 fighter and you know, everybody knows what you do. So a lot of times people want to see how does he respond to the test of fighting a guy like yourself. And it had to feel good. And even, look, the Vera loss, it was still a decision loss. I mean, it wasn't like you got your ass. It was just, you didn't do what you wanted to do. But that even, you learned the lesson. And that's got to make you feel good that even on a bad night, you fight an animal like Chito Vera and you still make it through. And yeah, just, it's a decision.
It was weird. It was hard because it's when I broke my record for significant shots and I was doing a lot of output. And I show that I can kind of like thug through it when I'm feeling like crap, you know, and which is great. And I got paid the most money because Uncle Dana, he FaceTimed me. I was in the at the hospital. He's like, listen, I know you didn't make weight. And I know you lost, but I'm still going to give you the win in your show. You know? So I was like, perfect. Like,
that's nice. So Davison Figueiredo is who you want next, if possible?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the you got the champ fighting Henry. It looks like, I don't know if they're going to do the Rob versus Corey fight. I'm not sure that, but that's, I think that's what I'm hearing. Obviously, Sean's out there, but he's not fighting anybody. He definitely wants that belt. I know I could do the Peters out there. Cheeto with rematch would be cool, but I think they're trying to book that fight. That's what I'm hearing. So I'm like, if those fights don't get booked, I think the biggest name that wants to come to the division is the former champ in Figueroa. I think that'd be great. And I definitely don't want to fight backwards. So it's kind of like you still have Cruz out there, but I just heard he's getting booked with Cody Garbrandt. So I think, you know, I want another big name, ex-champion. He wants to come up to the division. I'm pretty sure he wants to get a high-ranked fight as well. So I think it just makes sense.
Yeah, there's some good fights. Sorry, Matt. There's some good fights. You haven't fought O'Malley yet, right?
No.
O'Malley or you and Marab. I mean, that would be an incredible fight.
Impressive, man. I went jogging. I thought I saw his last fight. I got a lot of fights. That guy's a cardio machine. You know, like he. I don't know what you guys are doing with him, Sarah, but that guy's on. He's different, man. Like, but. There's a lot of fights out there. There's a lot of tough fights. There's a lot of interesting fights. And I just, I just want to be on the right side of this matchmaking.
Well, Rob, look, I mean, it's always good talking to you. And I was really happy for you. I know you said, I think you said in the post-fight interview that I needed, it felt good to get a finish. I hadn't gotten a finish in a couple of years. And that had to make you feel really good that, like, yeah, everything is back to where it should be.
Yeah, I felt great. I was the fight week went smooth, the cut went smooth. I felt great. I felt creative. I felt like I was having fun again. I wasn't just showing up for the job, but it wasn't there just showing up for a check. You know, it was like I'm doing more. Like, the check was a bonus. You know, like all the bonus check and all that was just extra. You know, like I did it for my team. I did it for my family. I did it for us. You know, the cartel needed to win. You know, like going from the Josh Emmett decision with Calvin Kattar and then him losing the way he did against Arnold Allen, the way he kind of like tweaked his knee and all that. And then me coming off back-to-back losses, it's been like a rough kind of up and down year for the team. So like we all needed that. And it just felt great.
Let me ask you, does your wife train or no? I like that she's in your corner.
She boxes. She'll box. Like she won't like necessarily do she don't like the grappling, but she'll box though. She'll kickboxing.
That's so funny. Funny, man. My wife did the kickboxing too. She had a few matches. Yeah. And I just now she's into jiu-jitsu. I got a feet wet with the women's classes. And now she's full. Now she's in. So that's funny, yeah, man.
She tried it. She just doesn't like the sweat. And obviously, like, and then like she doesn't like not be able to do her nails and all that. And then like she doesn't like the, especially in the gi, you know, you mess up your fingers. She's like, yeah, I'm cool on this. But like she'll throw hands. She has some pop too. And she even hold pads for me too, so it's pretty cool.
Nah, that's awesome, man. No, I always ask because when I see like a wife or a girlfriend, I'm like, do they train? Or sometimes somebody has like Matty Favola has his brother in the corner. Sometimes when you go to war, you just need some, it's whether they train or not, you just need people you're comfortable with. So yeah. I don't judge. I just like to know, wait, does she train at all? But she does.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Like she gets it. She watches it. She's there for me personally. Like if I hear her voice, I know I'm not listening. You know what I'm saying? So like, y'all are trying to listen. Like, if I'm completely going completely off with the coach is telling, like, I want you to speak up. And she'll like, so if she's saying anything, I know I'm kind of like doing my own thing. I'm going AWOL. I'm just getting off the game plan and kind of just, you know, figuring and trying to find things. But she definitely serves a purpose. She's the best with the weight cut, with the cooking, with you know, obviously making sure I'm comfortable and I just loved having her there.
That's good, man.
Yeah, Rob, congratulations, man. Great fight against a very, very promising opponent, and you did exactly what you needed to do. So we'll see you again soon. I can't wait to see who you fight next.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay, congrats, buddy. Talk to you again.
Tell Calvin we said hi too.
Definitely will.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and man, he looked good.
Dude, that was some fight, though.
That was great.
Not the last we've seen of Adrian either.
No. I mean, like these guys, it's almost like let me get the I don't want to mispronounce Raul Rosas Jr. that lost to a veteran like Christian Rodriguez. I mean, that was a really interesting fight, but you see what happens. Like, again, and you know me, Matt, I love when a guy with more experience fights these young up and comers to see how they respond. And the guy, he, you know, and Rosas put in too much into those takedowns in the first round. He burned too much energy, and I think he expected a quick win. And it's like, no, this is a different level of competition.
I was impressed with the poise of the of Chris.
Yes.
And you know, we love Saif Saeed. So like, oh yeah, no, I'm sorry. Was Saif Saeed in his corner, or was he in? He was definitely in Sam Hughes's corner. So I was going to bring up Sam Hughes also.
Right.
Who was in Christian's corner? Find out who was in Christian Rodriguez's corner. But Sam Hughes's corner, and Sam Hughes versus newcomer Jack Lewin.
Am I saying that right? I think so. Let me make sure.
Jack Lewin. I feel like
looks like Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. Sorry.
Yeah.
Jacqueline. What is it? Amorin.
Amorin. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Amorin. I'm a bit of a moron. Anyway, Jimmy. That girl is a jiu-jitsu girl, this Jacqueline, you know, and she came out and reminded me somewhat of Raul Ross Jr. Raul, didn't say that 10 times fast. But Raul, much like Jacqueline, they were trying to get that fight over before it began. Yeah. So what happens was they put out a fucking onslaught that overcomes a lot of fighters. But if you get some resilient mofos like Sam Hughes, she is not in that quick tap club. You understand? Her neck was getting sideways, and she I'll tell you, she's tough. She's been on here before, that Sam Hughes. I like her a lot. And Saif Saeed was in her corner, and he was saying great advice. And I told my wife between rounds, I go, listen to Saif. I guarantee he's going to throw some F-bombs and get nuts. And he does. He's fun, Saif. We have him on here a lot. But yes, so that's now. And then you've seen a typical trait of a jiu-jitsu person, if they're not, they don't clock in enough time with the stand-up. They like to go where it feels comfortable. So the second Jacqueline wasn't having her way, she started falling to guard, whether it's butterfly guard, full guard, looking for leg locks, but kind of half-assed. It's a safety mechanism, a defense mechanism. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So Sam Hughes did phenomenal. And again, a big-time learning experience for Jacqueline and for Raul. And I can't say enough about that Christian Rodriguez. He was on the show. Yeah. Such a nice kid.
Nice kid, yeah.
I'm thinking they're feeding this kid to Raul. And then when you look at it closer and when you talk to him, he was like, no, he was, you know, undefeated, but I only have one loss and it's because of this. And they see two upcoming prospects. They're giving us the full corner.
Yes, very nice.
Yeah.
That's Duke Rufus.
Yeah, that's who it was. It was Coach Duke Rufus. And then Mark Chwansky and Sergio Pettis. Come on, man. A bunch of studs. I love Duke, you know? So, yeah, man. So that's a very smart corner as well.
Well, a guy that's, again, like you said, Rosas is a young fighter and a guy that's used to overwhelming people. When you come up against somebody on the level of a lot of these fighters, it's like, this is not a guy who's going to be overwhelmed. This is not a guy who you're going to blitzkrieg and who's going to panic and make a wrong move. You know, so he just let him, he seemed like he let him kind of use a lot of his energy in that first round, and you could see it in the second, and by the third, you could really see it.
But, and then it looked like a 25-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Yeah. It did.
It looked like some big brother shit.
I think that's a good loss for Rosas. I think that's a good loss for him because, again, it's a decision. He wasn't embarrassed. He fought well in the first round. You learned that lesson that, the way Yair lost to Frankie Edgar, you learn lessons when you fight these guys who have more experience than you. It's what you do with it after. And Matt, we would be negligent
yes,
if we did not congratulate Adesanya, you were much closer to picking that than I was. I think you said a third round stoppage. I said decision, I believe. But that shot against Pereira, and Pereira was having great success with those leg kicks, and he was landing some very heavy shots. I don't believe that Israel was only playing possum. I do think that he was getting a little bit hurt. But man, that power he's able to generate from that short bit of range, I think that's kind of the way he knocked out Brunson too.
Man, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And Alex was showing like no respect, just like going on. He's like, whoa, look at him. He's like, but you're about to give him a compliment. Like, look at him, body and knee to the head. And, but what not? I mean, I like how it's very subtle, but Israel will first, before he lands that overhand right, he like touched him with the left, a little touch. He does that to know where he is. It's like, there's the chin. Boom! Yeah. And he fucking, there's the head. And then even when he hit him going down, you see him come back. It's like that left hand comes back and it's from his hip and it comes back and he catches him on the way down. And then he gave that one fucking straight. That was out of an anime movie. That was.
Yeah. That must have felt so good for him. Yeah.
You look good, man. You don't even look like you just had a fight.
I did though. My legs felt like they had a fight.
How hurt were your legs? It looked like he was really having success with those calf kicks.
Yeah, you know what? He was, but I looked at the numbers on the kicks. I landed almost twice as many kicks as he did. I just don't have as thick as thighs as he does. You think what I'm saying?
Oh, man, shit, Kevin. I'm so happy I got out of the sport before they started kicking people's ankles. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, why are we kicking the ankle, bro? Like, kick the thigh, bro. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, sheesh.
Hey, at one point, did you tell him, hey, man, it smells like weed in here or some shit? Did you say that?
I thought maybe I was hallucinating or something, but I was smelling greenery. So I was like, hey, man, do you smell weed? But I guess maybe I was hallucinating because he wouldn't answer me. So
I thought Joe or DC said they smelled it, too. I think somebody, one of the commentators, I think, did say they heard you say that and said that they smelled it. But again, you know, Rogan is known to smoke pot, so it could have just been Joe's shirt.
If it was, he had a hell of a shirt on, my man. I promise you that.
They had that shit in the air.
I love Miami. That was a good card. Yeah, I tell you that.
How did it feel to get this win? I mean, he's a very dangerous guy. And were you hurt at all in that fight? I mean, it looked like he landed some really solid shots. I wouldn't say you looked like you were in danger of going out, but there's a couple of times it looked like he landed some really nice shots.
I don't think I was ever hurt in the head. I mean, he landed one leg kick and I felt it like a half a second later after I went to take a step. And I said, oh, okay, we playing that game. I said, I'm chill out a little bit down there when you shoot them kicks, you know. But yeah, other than that, no, I was pretty good. Yeah, it wasn't that bad, you know. I think I get hit a lot harder by other guys. I don't think he hit that hard or anything like that. So, I mean, I don't understand how he has all those knockouts. So, but it's cool.
You know, let me ask you now, because we haven't talked to you since the Stephen Thompson fight. And, you know, you're an entertainer, man, for sure. You're a natural entertainer. And you're funny. I can see you getting into entertainment, to be honest with you. But that's another story. But when you fought Stephen Thompson, Wonder Boy, and you made basically an unwritten, or maybe an agreement, but it was an unwritten agreement of, we're going to keep this standing, pretty much. There was a time in that fight, maybe I'm fucking crazy, but you didn't initiate a takedown, but something happened, and you ended up on top of him, and I'm pretty sure you just got off him.
Still not sure.
Wait, what are you doing? I know you can fucking grapple, but it's like, what's going on there, man? I just want to know. I just want to know because it's like you didn't really, it's not that you didn't want to win, but you were just, I don't know. You didn't really give that much a fuck of the W. You kind of just wanted to have a good time or something. Tell me what you were thinking about.
I definitely wanted to have a good time, but I wanted to beat Wonderboy striking. I don't want to beat Wonderboy on the ground. I told Wonderboy we were going to stand. I told Wonderboy said he wanted somebody that was going to stand with him. I told Wonderboy I'd be the guy to stand with him. I'm a man of my word.
I know he's a nice guy, but you know. Yeah. But you were on top. But you almost, am I nuts or did you end up on top of him at one point and got off him? Because that to me is amazing. Because I understand if you want to have that. But if a guy slips on, hey, listen, man, you slipped him on top. I'm going to elbow you in the face and try to strangle you. But you didn't do that. I know he's a nice guy, but fuck.
No, I got up. Yeah, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to put him out. You know, if I dropped him with a strike and followed up and punched him and he started grappling to get up, I would have still stood up. Had I dropped him with a strike and he landed on his back and I needed to follow up with some strikes for the ref to stop the fight, that's honorable. I would have did that. But at no point in time, it was a San Shao match in my eyes. If I landed a takedown, that was just to buy time on maybe some strikes that he was throwing. We were going to stand back up. No matter what happened, it was a San Shao match. It was agreement that there wasn't going to be strikes like that on the ground. I was going to let you up. That was my agreement.
Not for everybody. I mean, come on, man. Travis Lute is spitting out his fucking protein shake. You can't be doing you're also a very skilled grappler. So you have nothing against jiu-jitsu, right? You'll throw in an arm lock or a triangle and
I love subbing people. And it would have been nice to sub Wonderboy. I would have been the only person in history to ever sub Wonderboy in an MMA fight. That would have been sick, right? He's never been subbed.
You could have challenged yourself with that.
That would have been wonderful. But I had every intention on knocking Wonderboy out with my right hand that broke, and I was almost on my way to doing it until it broke. And at no point in time, I felt like I needed to change the game plan. You know, and just I needed to mentally set in and switch up some of the strikes. But I would strike with Wonderboy any day of the week. I don't care what day it is, Monday through Sunday.
I love it.
Beautiful backfist, by the way, against Ponzi. And he tried to repay the favor. What was it? In the second, he tried to nail you with the one you hit him. I think you hit him in the first or second, and he tried to land one in the second or third.
Oh, I don't even remember. All I remember is hitting him. Yeah. You remember the shots that does damage. You know, only thing I remember him really landing was leg kicks. So it's just kind of the way it goes these days.
Now, I want to talk to you about that fight a little more because it was so impressive. Let me ask you now, because listen, I got a similar problem, I feel. So I want you to kind of let, because you're such a likable guy. Me and Jimmy, we love you. We love having you on. And I've seen you in person. You're a fun guy. This is really you. I think I'm a fun guy. If I was an emoji, I'd be this emoji, like this. So listen.
Yeah. So it's not the emoji I picked for you, but
Jimmy, cut the shit, Jimmy. Anyway, my thing is this. Trouble finds me, dude. I'm telling you. And Dana says no. He goes, it's fucking you. And I go, it's not me. I just maybe have a set of scruples. There's no rules now. There's no code. I don't know what it is. I don't like being disrespected. But there's some video of me getting into some incidents. Look, the Italian dream, Khamzat, the other day with Jorge Masvidal. What is it with you? And there's other times. No, there's other guys too. Well, who else? But listen.
Kamaru, you know, I think at one point.
Then you're fighting crime. Listen. What's going on, Kevin Holland? What is it about you that people, I'm not saying trouble finds you, but, you know, circumstances arise. I mean, what is it about you?
You know, me and one of the Blunt brothers, Jamal Hill, we were just talking about this literally yesterday. And it's like, and you know, he was like, I guess he was having a conversation with some others about me. And he put it very, very clear. You know, it's like, I'm just blunt. I'm just straightforward. You know, it's like, I'm very much blunt person in the Blunt brothers. You know what I mean? I'm the blunt one in the Blunt family. Yeah. I keep it very straightforward. If somebody asks me a question, I'm going to answer it, you know, and I need to do a better job of maybe redirecting how I answer it. But at the end of the day, I am who I am. And honest is what I know. And honest is what gets me by. And I would think that a lot more people would understand because I deal with a lot of honest and up forward and straightforward people. If you ask me if I think somebody's a dickhead, I think they're a dickhead. If I think that somebody's a jackass, I think they're a jackass. That's just who I am. And if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it. It doesn't matter if you're sitting next to me or if you're 1,000 miles away. It doesn't matter if it's on camera or off camera. Same thing I'm going to tell you off camera, I'm going to tell you on camera. The same way I told you off camera, I'm probably going to tell you on camera. I don't care if you're the light heavyweight champ of the world at the time. I don't care if you're the middleweight champ of the world at the time. You know, me and Jamal had a conversation the other day and he was dead serious and I was dead serious on not agreeing with him. And he was like, bro, you know, I was serious, right? I was like, you know, I was serious that you're not right. And he was like, you know what? All right. It's just how I am. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Those that hate it and those that don't respect it, they can say whatever they want to say. But then again, I have this other factor about me. If you say something that I don't like, I'm going to approach it. So if I approach it and you don't like how I approach it, then it's just whatever. If it's smoke that you want, it's smoke that you get. If it's, you know, friendly smoke, a nice blunt smoke by the fire, we can do that. If you want to see which one of us can get put in the fire and roasted the most, we can do that. It's just whatever the case may be. I just don't have a problem with it. So
I'll take the first one. I'll take board number one, me and you. But listen, man. So Masvidal, I mean, you're in the lobby. I didn't even know you guys knew each other. Wow, is it just a look, or is it just, you know what? I don't like you. What happened there?
Somehow, some way, somebody said that I was trying to trash one of his events. Never had intentions on trashing any of his events. There was a lady friend that I was real cool with at the time who was cornering somebody at one of the events. She couldn't make it to my dinner. I was going to go to the event. I get a message that says I'm banned from going to the event. I'm fucking dying laughing. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I get some other messages saying that I'm trying to trash the event. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I literally fight the next day. How am I going to go trash an event?
Right.
So I wasn't stressed about it. I wasn't worried about it. It was what it was. I lose the Wonder Boy fight. I get a long message in from Jorge. I send Jorge a message back. We get a couple messages going back and forth. You know what I mean? It's a bunch of barking going on behind gates. We get in front of each other. It's still a bunch of barking. Nobody has ever yet to bite. So at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of dogs barking and nothing has ever truly happened. You know, it's like there's a TMZ video of him running. You know what I mean? And it's like you're chasing something that's not running from you. I never ran at something that wasn't running from me. So I don't understand it. So yeah. Like I said, it's a bunch of barking and no biting. Nobody's really doing anything here. It's just a bunch of he say, she say, and this and that. And
yeah, the media bites it, though. Look, shit, I'm interested.
Sure. I
like confrontations, Jimmy. They want to see it. Like, oh, what the fuck? I know we're at fights. Everybody's going to fight tomorrow, but they might fight right now. That's what happens.
You know, and props to Dana for, you know, doing the right thing, trying to keep everything simmered down and stuff like that, trying to keep business going. Like, you see what happened with the Chimaev thing, you know, opponent switch can happen on the drop of a dime, and not everybody's down for that. Like, you know, Chimaev's a dog, he's down for the opponent change on the last drop of a second of a dime. I'm down for the opponent change on the last second of a dime, you know what I mean? It's whatever. And not everybody's down for that, and you know, the promotion doesn't always need stuff like that. And so, you know, he did a good job of steering it away, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, George is retired now, so... You know, no reason to be interested in that man when it comes to combat sports. And if it's ever another problem, well, then that has nothing to do with, anything else other than me and George. So it's like, only thing he ever had that I wanted was a Big Mouth belt, you know, and the way I look at it is it says BML. So it's Big Mouth, motherfuckers. So
you've shown that you could fucking handle yourself at either 185 or 170. But shit, man, 170 they were mentioning it on the live broadcast, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. They are having a harder time getting you to the floor, I feel. Yeah. Like, with the grappling, is it because of this? I mean, just the size alone, it's like, all right, these guys aren't nearly as big as these, as 185 is trying to put me down. Is that just, does it feel more comfortable just shucking off the grappling?
I mean, since the Brunson Vettori fight and since the Brunson and the Vettori fight, you know, I have went out and worked on my wrestling a lot more. I have worked with a lot of good wrestling coaches. I've had Johnny Hendricks around me. I've taken a little 2 days to keep it reduced. You know, when I do see wrestlers, I don't have a problem with, you know, chopping shop with them these days. I've trained with, you know, a dude, Eric Sands. I've trained with a dude named Mindset Mike. You know, I've had some decent wrestling come around my way to get better. So it's hard to say that it's just the weight transfer. It does probably help to have a little bit more weight and not the guys to be bigger than me, but I do well in jiu-jitsu when guys are bigger than me. So at the end of the day, I can't say that that's just the case. Maybe before I was just a little bit lazy at 185 pounds and didn't feel like doing the things that I needed to do to make it more competitive for those guys. Maybe I felt like the start of their wrestling was the start of my jiu-jitsu and that was the end for everybody. And when I got to some elite level guys, that wasn't the case. So since then, I've looked to make my wrestling better, and now I need to go ahead and make sure I secure both wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So at the end of the day, I can't say whether it's the weight change or just me getting a little bit better, but we could always send my black ass back up to 185 and check it out and see what happens.
Well, I think they were saying something, too, about we're a bigger guy could get you down maybe by using just force, but here they have to know what they're doing. Basically, somebody can't just muscle you down. Like, they have to do it properly if they're going to get you on the floor at this point.
I think there was only one man two men that probably ever truly muscled me down. Thiago Santos muscled me down. I was a lot smaller at the time, and I was a lot less fit at the time. Vettori muscled me down. Vettori's a big fucking guy. Props to Vettori. But I was still cracking him and I still had a good time with him. And when my jiu-jitsu was able to, when he was trying to pass guard, I was able to reverse. When he was trying to do things, I was able to stand up. I was able to make it a good fight. I should have relied on my cardio a little bit more that fight. Brunson, it's kind of hard to say that Brunson's not a good wrestler. I mean, I think that Brunson's a decent wrestler. He went to college for wrestling, right? So it's kind of hard to say that he's not a good wrestler. So maybe I just haven't been against anybody at 170 pounds that knows how to fucking wrestle yet. So maybe that's why Michael Chiesa should get off the couch and come fight me May 13th, you know?
And not for anything, it should be said that when you took that, like a stud, you took that Khamzat fight.
Yeah. Well, on like, a day's notice or 3 days notice? Day's
notice, and you were set to fight another striker, pretty much. I mean, you know what I mean. So it's
that's my fault though. I had at the time laid off the wrestling. You know what I mean? Like I had laid off the wrestling. I didn't think I needed it at the time. My shoulder was a little bummed. I was like, oh, I get away with this fight with just striking, and I don't have to put that extra pressure on myself. And I had laid off the wrestling where I was only wrestling maybe every other week. So that's my fault. I'm a mixed martial artist. I got to do it all. So had I did it all, that would have been a hell of an opportunity.
Because I've seen, that's true, but I've seen, like, even in that little exchange, people are like, oh, he took him down. And yeah, but I'm in that Granby role. I mean, you did some things where it's like, if that was just, you had 2 months to get that shit honed, and you, I'm saying in the future, if you ever got matched up again, you never know. It's like, go ahead.
As long as we have a referee that understands that it's no gi rules and not gi rules, I think we'd be good to go no matter what, whether it was a 1 day notice or a 2 days notice. Because those Granby rolls are pretty hard to stop unless you hook onto something. You know what I mean, dog?
Yeah, I got you. Shit, man. You see a lot lately of some jujitsu guys and grapplers, they grab it inside that fucking glove.
The glove, yeah.
Happened the other day with the jujitsu girl, Jacqueline. Yeah, Sam Hughes is like, yo, what's up?
It's a part of the uniform, right? So, you know, you got to learn how to deal with it. It's a part of the uniform. I ain't mad at them. You got to do what you got to do to get people where you got to get them so you can pop out them and do what you got to do. So I like it. You know,
there was a fight where Herb Dean told somebody recently, I think they were like, oh, I didn't do it. He's like, I saw your hand in the glove.
Leon versus Usman.
Leon.
It was great. Leon was like, I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Yeah, and props to Herb. He's like, no, I saw it. I was right there. And then you look at the replay, you're like, oh, yeah, he hit his hand.
And then he's like, I didn't mean to. And I do believe sometimes they don't even believe mean to. Just replay.
No, it's a part of, if you ever train in the gi, or, I mean, if things just naturally happen, I mean, you got to grab what you got to grab. It's the heat of the moment. If I grab the fence, I don't mean to grab the fence. Shit, I'm just trying to stay up on my feet. I mean, hey, can you blame me? You don't want to be down there.
Give me a nutsack right away.
Hey, it hurts. I mean, why? My own. Now, let me ask you. Now, were you talking to Trump? I saw you kept turning around, and Dana and Trump were sitting behind you. Were you addressing him or Dana?
I was actually, when I was in the cage, I was addressing Dana and Trump. I was saying, yo, Mr. President. But then I was like letting Dana know. I was like, not too bad, right? Not too shabby. So, you know, just having a good time in there. And then my coach Shug would come and be like, hey, focus. Yeah. So I get focus.
It's funny though, because you heard Dana in the post-fight thing, and they were asking what he was saying, and that President Trump was going to him, going, "What is he saying?" And Dana's like, "I don't fuck." He's like, I think it's kind of funny that you got the you know, Trump sitting there going to him, asking about you. I mean, I don't know, it's pretty funny.
I thought it was pretty cool too. For me, it was a surreal moment. Come on, man, like. I got a left hook knockout in front of Mike Tyson. That's a storybook telling.
Yeah.
I got to fight in Miami and win in Miami. That's fire as hell. And I got to impress the boss with a good knockout and overall clean up my act by the end of the day with a good performance. That's a whole fire. It's a storybook telling, dude. It's fire. Left hook knockout in front of Mike Tyson. That's it. Boy, I'm
That's
done.
What I was going to ask you, because it's funny to watch fighters respond to Mike when he's there, because everyone likes Tyson. Yeah. Does it change – not the way you fight, but do you feel that in the cage, whether it's Mike or the former president or just somebody? Like, look, we're all, it's hard not to notice.
You know what? I don't think it really changed like necessarily the way I fight, but it might change a little bit how I entertain, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like when Khabib was there, you know, it's like win, lose or draw. I knew I was going to make sure that Khabib had a good time. I'm an entertainer. And at the end of the day, like you guys said, I like to entertain. So, hey, Mike Tyson's there. Mike Tyson needs to have a good time. President Trump's here. President need to have a good time. The boss is here. The boss damn sure needs to have a good time. What more does the boss like than a knockout? A fucking knockout. So
yeah,
go out there and have a good time and show the boss what he likes. You know, talk a little shit, knock somebody's block off, and face down, ass up.
And well, it was a good stoppage, by the way.
Great. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes it's not, you can. Yeah, you can never. I never really get mad at the guy because they don't know what's going on, man. In their head, they're fine. Yeah, you're fine now, but you weren't fine a second ago. And sometimes it takes them a while to really accept that. You know what I mean? So I hope it got through to him because I know he was upset in the beginning.
I mean, dude's a warrior. I mean, I got a good little picture I want to drop, and I'm going to drop it regardless. It just depends if he says anything crazy or not. It depends what my caption will be. You know what I'm saying? But
I gotta be him face down.
It was a good stop. I mean, if you look at the picture, you know, he's down. He's in a bad spot, bro. That was a good stop. It was a good stop.
He went face down to the mat, right? And then he came out. And the only reason you stopped hitting him is because he told you to stop hitting him. But he was not, I don't think he was doing anything to defend you hitting him or stop you from hitting him.
I was already pretty much catapulting to go on top of the cage after taking a couple steps off before he really popped up and did the no. So, you know, I feel him 100% like Matt said, he's a warrior. He's supposed to do that. He's supposed to want to keep going. But it's the ref's job to stop us from doing anything further than damaging ourselves. You know what I mean? And it's your corner's job too, to make sure that you're good. So, and I think everybody besides him was in agreement that it was a good stoppage. So, you know, still popped upon Zanibio for, you know, being the warrior that he is, you know.
Kevin, congratulations. A great, great fight. You looked good. You moved really well. And I was happy for you. And I know it felt good to get that after a couple of losses. And who's next? Do you know? Is it going to be Chiesa?
I don't know who's next. You know what? If something happens to guy he's fighting and they need somebody to step in for that Wonderboy fight, I'll be ready at all times. And I don't know if he has the same exact agreement with me anymore because, you know, people do want to see me grapple if I get on top. But don't slip, Wonderboy, or we won't be on the ground. That's all I can say. And, I would love to do that fight. I was just talking to Ariel not too long ago. I would do that fight 7 days a week. I would always do that fight. You know, and if it's not him, whoever they have lined up for me, I know Michael Chiesa wasn't able to fight because Jimmy Lang hurt. I would love to step in for that if he wants to do it sooner than later. And if not, then, you know, I got Terrence McKinney. He just moved out here. I'm going to help him get ready for his next fight. I hear he's fighting International Fight Week. So if I have to wait until after that, I'm fine with that too. I want to make sure everybody around me is doing good, you know?
You know, Kevin, there's a lot of guys and the guys are retiring recently. You got like Cowboy Cerrone the other night. Now we got Jorge Masvidal. And when these guys retire, when these guys were fighting, you always knew what you were getting when they were fighting, win or lose. You were getting some entertainment. So I feel it's like the circle, like these guys are out now and you're like that. You're one of those guys now. So when people see on a card and whether it's they see, all right, oh, Cowboy Cerrone's on this card. Oh, I know. So then they see Kevin Holland, like, oh, I know I'm getting something.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to tell you, man. Well done. You're that new guy. You're that new, you know, fan favorite. So fuck yeah.
That truly means a lot coming from you, brother. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
That's how I feel. And I know Jimmy feels similar.
Yeah, it was. I was happy for you and you look great. I mean, we're looking forward to seeing whoever you fight next, Kevin. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot. Good talking to you.
Hell yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, you know who I would love to see, Matt, before I forget? Kevin welterweight against Michel Pajeda. I think that would be a really entertaining fight.
You know what, man?
Yeah.
Children behave. That's what they say. We're whippy together. I fucked up. Jimmy, I want to see you on that Bert Kreischer roast. How do I watch that?
OFTV.com. If you go to OFTV, it's OnlyFans. Let me make sure it's OFTV. Everybody seems to love it. It's up now. You can watch it for free, you silly goose.
I am silly.
Yeah, OFTV.com. You click it, and it's the first thing that pops up on the page. You can't miss it.
I can't wait to watch it. And Jimmy, we talked about the great Israel Adesanya and what he did. And I can't tell you, he did live his anime movie, and I am so I'm so impressed. And for a guy to lose to a guy that many times and say, you know what? No, I'm going to have my moment. I don't give a shit.
Yep.
And it was right out of a movie. And again, that guy's going to go down as one of the best. I love his balls, man. I love his how brave he is. Yeah. Whether it's challenging to go up to fight Jan Blachowicz to get a double champ situation there, or to fucking just beat a guy to challenge a guy that just beat him and finished him. It's amazing, man. Anyway, but really quick, I know before we go, I just wanted to say Gilbert Burns, you know, with the great Jorge Masvidal.
Oh, yeah.
He retired in his home city. He did, you know, that guy has a career to look back on to tell his grandkids about that, you know, the BMF champ, the fights that he had. That knee on Ben Askren is a knee that was forever going to be in the MMA archives as a great moment, one of the fastest, if not the fastest victory in UFC history. And, hey, listen, man, great career and congrats on that. And congrats to Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns is just looking better and better and better.
Yeah.
And he's answering. He's figuring out all the games of the top guys, and he's beating them all. So I really want to see the next time I want to see Gilbert Burns, I want to see him fighting for a fucking title.
Yeah, and I guess, and before we go, Matt, it looks like who's going to be next? I don't think Alex gets Israel next, even though it's belt swapping. I still think that they maybe make Alex fight somebody else before he fights Israel a third time if it happens at all, or maybe another couple of fights. But who does Adesanya fight? I mean, he's beaten. He's beat obviously Whitaker. He's beaten Vettori, Cannonier, Costa. I guess Driscus Duplessis. Does he fight him? I mean, who's next?
Hey, man,
Dalidze is up. You know,
we get to sit back and see.
Yeah,
who stands out amongst all these fucking warriors?
Yeah,
Jimmy Behar. All right, listen. Do you want to? I'll finish that. I'm gonna work that out. And we'll finish that next time. Do you want to? It's basically the song Tiffany. Tiffany's a pop artist from the 90s and or the 80s, late 80s. And you know, she used to date one of the new kids on the block. But we'll delve into that next time on.
Yeah.
What do you want to plug, Jimmy?
Wednesday night, I am going to be in the Fat Black Pussycat here in New York. And again, go to OFTV.com and watch that Bert Kreischer roast. It's really great. You can come see me in New Jersey and Bethlehem in May and Cleveland in 2 weeks. I'm finally getting back out to Cleveland.
Jimmy, you know how much I love you.
Matt.
I had a great time.
Me too. Thank you to our guests, Rob Font, the great Kevin Holland. And Matt, I'll talk to you in 2 days.
2 days too long.
Oh, come on now.
Bye, everyone.
See you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.